Matthew 5, let's read 1 through 12, and you guys know already we're not getting through all 12 of those, so forget that. Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12, and I'm gonna be preaching from the subject, the blessed are right with God. Blessed folks are right with God. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The blessed are right with God. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for coming to give us life, and not only give us life, but to give us life more abundantly. Father, we thank you for the Sermon on the Mount, Father God. And then we thank you, Father God, for saving us, Father God. And then we thank you, Father God, that you're still saving. That you're still in the saving business. And we know, Father God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Thank you for saving this preacher who was lost, Father God, dead in his trespasses and sins, could care less about the things of God, could care less about being merciful, poor in spirit, mourning, had no hunger or thirst after righteousness, unmerciful, had an evil heart, a troublemaker, and persecuted folks. But you saved me, Father God, and I know you can save someone today. So we pray in Jesus' name that as the minister prayed, somebody's heart, somebody's mind, someone's soul will be moved by the word of God, not by the word of man. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sermon on the Mount. Some teach that it was his standard prayer. I mean, his standard sermon. When Jesus spoke to unbelievers, folks that didn't know him, he would preach this prayer. I mean, excuse me, he would preach this sermon. Because he knew folks needed to hear it. He knew folks needed to be saved. He knew folks needed to be born again. We talk about Whitfield and the fact that he preached John 3:16 over 350 times. And folks would ask him, Mr. Whipple, why do you preach John 3:16 so often and so much? And he would say, well, folks just need to hear it.
Amen.
Folks just need to hear that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Folks want eternal life.
Yeah.
Folk want to live forever. And you will. Somewhere. There's a home for you. It's a home for you. Now we know, and I'm not even going to get started here. I want to talk about the subject being blessed. The blessed folks are right with God. Because we love to talk about how blessed we are. We love it. I caught myself last week and I was preparing this message and I walk around my job and people, how you doing? And I had to catch myself because I wanted to say, I'm just blessed. I'm blessed. Triple blessed. Quadruple blessed. Y'all have heard all the terms. You know, when we say them, too blessed to be stressed. That's the main one. Too blessed to be stressed. And then an hour later, you walk by that person's office and they going through. How about this one? Having a place to go is home. Having someone to love is family. Having both is a blessing. Ain't that pretty? That's beautiful. Today I'm counting my blessings, not my troubles. My greatest blessings call me mom. They're beautiful. A good life is when you smile often, dream big, laugh a lot, and realize how blessed you are for what you have. That's the world's blessings. That's what it means to be blessed in America. Having stuff, having family, having great kids, and you know, a nice home, and that's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about that, and it's nice stuff, and I'm not denying that. It's a blessing. Margaret feels like, oh, my son is sitting next to me. What a blessing. And that would be common for us to say in a situation like that. But Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount for a different reason. Some folks came there and he had the multitudes coming, and chapter 4 talks about how he healed people and how he delivered people from demonic possession and all that. And now he had this great multitude of people and he knew they were in trouble. As a matter of fact, he the Bible says in Matthew somewhere, he said he looked out among them and he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. They were lost. I mean, they were in that sense, they were in the house of God. And churches are full of lost folks. Amen. When really the church is called the ecclesia, it really is a place where saved folks ought to congregate. Uh-huh. It's really not a place where lost folks ought to frequent. We don't understand that theology because we just want everybody to come to church. And everybody should come to church. But the Word of God says the true church is for saved folks. Really, an unsaved folk ought not even want to be in a church. Now that's just, Pastor, that's just not good theology. That's just biblical. Amen. The Word of God said we ought to go out into the highways and byways and do what? Make disciples of men. And then once they are saved, then they ought to find a church. But a lot of our messages today are designed for unsaved folks. Because the church is full of unsaved folks, and most preachers say, well, if I preach the Word of God, folks ain't going to understand. Why? Because they're not saved. I don't like that message. I don't understand what your pastor's saying. Here's why. If he's reading the Bible and preaching the Word of God, you don't have what you need to understand it. And what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying this. It talks about the necessity of being born again. He talks about it. The Sermon on the Mount is about the fact that you really need to be born again. Okay? And being born again doesn't mean you join a church. Born again means that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You accepted the terms And you've counted the cost and you say, you know what, I'm going to make him my Lord. I'm going to receive him as Lord of Lords, Lord of my life. The Sermon on the Mount for the believer gets you to an understanding of who God is. Who God is. Talks about who God is and talks about the conditions of the kingdom. Kingdom living right now. Unbelievers wouldn't understand that. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 2:16, talking about the mind of Christ. He said, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Nobody. What Paul says this? He says this, "But we have the mind of Christ." Saved people. People that are born again have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, you're going to have the desire to know Christ.
Amen.
That whole stuff that you saved and you don't have no desire for the things of God, no desire for prayer, no desire for Bible study, no desire for fellowship, it's just foreign to me. And it's foreign to the Word of God. Can't help nobody if you don't have the Spirit of God. You just can't minister. You ought not even want to. And if you down and out as a man of God or a woman of God and someone is unsaved come to you with some advice, run. Run from them. Why? Paul says this in Galatians 6:1. Talks about the necessity of having been born again, having the Spirit of God. He said, "Brethren, if a man or woman be overtaken in a fault," you find yourself as a Christian in trouble, and you will. Now, foreign stuff. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in some dicey situations. You're going to stumble. The best of us are going to come up short. Why? Because the Word of God said, "There's none righteous. No, not one." And you heard a brother preach praying, we live in a fallen world. We're going to run into trouble. But Paul says this. He said, "If you are overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," meaning ye which have received the Lord as your Savior, you have the power of God working through you. You understand meekness. You understand mourning. You understand mercy. You understand grace. You understand all that. Now you're in a position where you can help somebody. You can help somebody. He said, "Brother, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of" what? Meekness. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Teaches us the only true way to happiness. Now, folks, listen. I know we want to be happy. We want to be happy. And we think stuff make us happy. I did a study. You know, it's not hard when you sit at the computer studying it. And you just Googled millionaires and suicide. Millionaires and suicide. You know what I found out? That you are high, at a higher risk of committing suicide with the more wealth you achieve. The more wealthy you are, you're at a higher rate for committing suicide than a poor person. Sylvia, you didn't know that, did you? Listen, a billionaire. They say Adolf Merkel committed suicide. A billionaire. And truth be told, he's been on the news all for the last week and a half. Tried to kill himself at a brothel in Las Vegas. He worth $50 million. He got $50 million in the bank. He ain't happy. $50 million in the bank. And the wife did the same thing my wife would have done. Call off the divorce. This fool getting ready to pay me. Divorce is called off. I bet it is. Yeah, and I thought about that. And he'd been on the news all week. Now, 9 people in Oregon got killed and 14 was wounded. Anybody heard about any of those that were wounded? Not a thing. Not a thing. Because we glorify stuff in this world. This world is evil and the media is evil and it glorifies that stuff. Listen to the Sermon on the Mount. I like this one. It provides the surest means of evangelism. If you want to go out and talk to people and talk to them about Jesus Christ, listen, let me tell you something. If you are living out the truth of the Sermon on the Mount, you can do it. You can do it because there is power in a transformed life. If your life has been transformed by the Word of God, by the power of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, and the meekness of God, and you have a pure heart and you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you got a great testimony. You got a great testimony. But if you're lying and backing up what you're talking about, you got a horrific testimony. I had a young man come to my office. He got a sleeve on. He had knocked the window out. And this guy comes to every service I do out to where I work at. And he's come to every service. He's the first to pray, first to sing, and just testimony, just crazy. And I asked him, I said, listen, what if my testimony was as the chaplain of this place, that I go outside in my car every day and drink and smoke, and I am at the water cooler hitting on all the women. I said, what would you think of me and anything that I said? And he was quick to say, I wouldn't have nothing to do with you.
Amen.
That's not just for preachers, folks.
Amen.
Okay? Uh-huh. If the people of God took their transformed lives out into the community, out into the school system, out to General Motors and the Packer, in the hospitals, and wherever you go, man, we could turn this world around. Listen, how Paul says in Romans 2:12. He said, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. You don't have to wear everything the world wearing. You don't have to have the same haircuts and hairstyles, and you don't have to wear the same stuff. You don't have to be conformed to this world.
Amen.
We want to look like the world and say we're Christians. And we want to look like the world. I believe people ought to be able to look at us and see something different.
Amen.
I really do.
Amen.
We just blend right in. We just blend right in. We like turkey hunters. We like turkey hunters. See, people don't believe turkeys see everything. They got great peripheral vision. They heads are down, they bobbing, but they see everything. So if you're going to be a good turkey hunter, you got to blend in. So that's why you see them where they wear the leaves and they just sit there and look like a tree with a shotgun. See, that's what we are. Turkey hunter Christians. We just blend right in. You never know if we was there. Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. How? Somebody said it already. By the renewing of your mind. You need a renewed mind. I can't live out these Christian principles. I can't live the Christian life because you're trying to do it with a fleshly mind. You're trying to do it in the flesh. You don't have the power to do it in the flesh. You ain't got no power.
Amen.
All the flesh want to do is eat, drink, and be merry. Kill, steal, and destroy. The flesh ain't gonna never tell you, well, you know what, you need to stop drinking. The flesh gonna tell you, drink some more, and there's a big crowd of people that are having a parade in Oklahoma, run through that.
Uh-huh.
That's what the flesh gonna tell you. No. You can drink one more, Johnny Manziel. You just came out of Alcohol Anonymous, Alcohol Recovery. Just have one more, it ain't gonna hurt you. You make a lot of progress. You deserve a break. You deserve a couple. That's just what the flesh is going to do. It's going to tell you to destroy people's lives. It's going to tell you to destroy people's lives. It's going to tell you, you know what, ain't nothing wrong, you know, with this or that. Well, you know it is. I like this. Watch what it says. This question. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind. Now watch this. that you may prove what is good. Who God is good? You want to prove to a lost world that the power of God still works. Here's how you want to know. It's working in me. Okay? I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the woman I used to be. I got a new way of living. I got a new walk. I got a new talk. I got a new attitude. I got new desires. I got new affections. You're going to prove that with the renewing of your mind. Now, the blessed man is right with God. So we can take that text and go, we can fly right through, but I'm stuck. And y'all know I get stuck. He said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set as a master instructor, okay, as a master instructor, he sat down. And his disciples came unto him. And at this time, he hadn't chosen his 12. So these were all followers. But he knew they was following for the wrong reason. He knew some of them didn't have the right stuff. See, Jesus had a way of weeding his garden. See, we ain't no preacher going to weed their garden today. You in that church full of everything. As long as it's full. You can have a man come to church at one week as a woman, come the next week as a man. It's happening. We just transgenders are welcome. Everybody's welcome. Just come on in. I believe that too. But I believe when they come in, you're going to preach the word. And you're going to preach in the love. You're not going to be sitting here attacking folk. We're not talking about that. We're going to preach the word. The fact that you got a problem with women, the fact that you got a problem with drugs or alcohol, whatever, is not going to stop the men of God from preaching God's word.
Amen.
And you can put all that, you can put a big chunk in the offering. The man of God. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the Word of God. Listen. We talk about this. This word blessed, I'm stuck. What's it mean? It means you're right with God. So when you tell somebody I'm blessed, and somebody walks, how you doing? I'm blessed. That means what you're saying is I am right with God. That's what you're saying. You saying me and God are one accord. I'm good with God. I remember when my brother's sister-in-law had found out she had cancer, and it was just, when she found out, it was just too late. She lived about 2 weeks after she found out, and they asked me to drive up to the Cleveland Clinic and talk to her. And the doctors already told me, it's over. There's nothing we can do. You know what I asked her? Are you right with God? Are you right with God? It wasn't no sense me sitting up there like, God, I'm going to heal you and splashing her water and doing all this stuff. Listen, are you right with God?
Yeah.
Are you right with God? That's the question. And this is what the Sermon on the Mount is saying. Listen, if you want to get to the kingdom, you need to be right with God. You need to be right with God. If God turns you inside out, what would be revealed about you? Are you right with God? And somebody said, I think J. Vernon McGee called the manifesto. The old saints would call it the manifesto, the declaration. He's declaring to all these folks, are you right with God? Are you right with God? Are you blessed? Does your circumstances affect you? It's something happened right now. You heard this great message. You go outside your car, don't start. Rita. Now you're falling all out. I'll be watching Rita. I said, I'm going to see what she's going to come out of the Bible and say, Carlos, sorry. You know what Rita say? She said, Teddy, I'm riding home with you. I'll come get it tomorrow. I'll be watching that stuff. She said, Minister Brandon, take me home. She found somebody from the south side. Take me home. She don't flip out. She does it all the time. You know. She said, I'm my foot bad, my leg bad. I don't have energy to be stressing out. Over no car. Listen, the blessed man is right with God. Then you take the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms got everything. It's really the Old Testament and the New Testament is just full of biblical truths. And many of us love the Psalms. We love the Psalms because the gospel is within the Psalms. But the first book of the Psalms talks about this blessed man. And his relationship and the people he hang out with and what he delights in. And all of us would be, it would be good if we take a self-examination of ourselves based on the Psalms. The Psalms. Yeah. We was talking about circumcision this morning and I didn't want to, Deacon Oliver was talking too much as usual, but I didn't want to say a whole lot. But the circumcision, when he was talking about it, and Elmer was trying to hit it from a physical point, and Sarah was hitting it from a spiritual point, but I believe that the main thing I was getting out of it is it is painful. They did it with a rock back then. They didn't have morphine, whatever the painkillers and stuff. They just, like Isaac, was it Isaac, Jacob's son. Daughter got raped and the man said, well, I'm gonna marry. He said, well, all y'all gotta get circumcised. And they went down there with some rocks. And started circumcising folks and they was in pain for a week. And while they was in pain, they went down there and slew them all. You get out of here. Let me tell you something about being saved. It's painful.
Amen.
We don't want to talk about that. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's painful. You talk to somebody that's saved and it's painful. Because it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some relationship. It may cost you some family. Okay? It may cost you some prestige and honor. It may cost you an award or a promotion. Psalm says this, like the blessed man, Psalm 1. He said, how blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How about that? He don't walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners. You know where sinners hang at? You know where they're at. I'm not going over there. There's times I walk by an office and I see the wrong folks in there. I don't want to even go in there because I know what they're talking about. I don't want to hear it. You know, that's just life for the believer. You got to protect your purity. Because see, this world is doing its best to mess us up. And I sat there and I spiritualized everything and I know Evelina, that's your hometown, Oklahoma City, wasn't that? Okay. That's her school. She graduated from Oklahoma State. Now, the football game went on. And everybody out there serving up that beer, serving up that alcohol. Y'all know I spiritualized everything. They serving up all that booze. But see, Budweiser, Michelob Light, and Miller Light, and Bush, they're not telling you about that. Uh-huh. That's not going to be in one of their commercials. Uh-huh. You know, everybody on the beach is all, I'm like, where did you get these girls from? And these guys all got six packs. Everybody beautiful. Uh-huh. So when I was drinking, all, everybody didn't get pretty till 2:00. The later it got. Then they turn lights on. I'm like, I must be drunk. That's Dave's story, not mine. But how blessed is the man who walks out in the council of godly, but sits in, but and stand not in the way of the sinner. There's a lifestyle that the blessed person has. And I want to say this because I know we use that word. Some of y'all gonna use it today. Somebody gonna call you. How was church day, blessed? How you doing today, blessed? And we say it all the time. But are you really? Are you right with God?
Amen.
Are you right with God? How do I get right with God, Pastor? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Somebody sang it this morning. I come to give you life. I come to give you life. Listen, You have to have the Spirit of God working in you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. I'm going to take you through to the end of it because we know verse 17. But we sometimes miss what it all really entails and what it all does, what Christ has really done for us. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man have the Spirit of God in him, if any man be born again, saved, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Behold, I'm something to look at now. Mm-hmm. Got all that sin off me, all that anger and malice and hatred, all that unforgiveness out of me. I'm something different. I'm something to look at now. I'm not the same. I'm a bad man. Listen, and all things are of God. All things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has reconciled him to us. Well, how did he do that? When Christ died on the cross, when Christ died for our sins, he was what? Reconciling the world unto himself. So when somebody says, I am in Christ or I'm born again, you have accepted and received, you have believed that Christ's work on Calvary has saved you.
Amen.
Has changed you. Amen. Has delivered you. You're not the same anymore.
Amen.
Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. Here's our word. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
Meaning, Pastor, meaning that when God died on the cross, he took on all our sins. Those who have received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, God had cleaned your slates. Cleans your slate. He has reconciled you back to him. You are now a child of the King. I like what Paul says here. He said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Now if you say you're an ambassador for Christ, that means you represent Christ. You talk about the ambassadors. I think John Kerry is our ambassador right now. And he's over in all these countries he goes to, and guess what he's doing? He's lifting up the United States. He's trying to tell all these foreign countries that the United States is a great country.
Amen.
Now he's got some trouble on his hands. Trying to sell that. But we don't have that same problem. Because we know we have a great King. We know that we have a great God. And the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
For ambassadors for Christ. That means when somebody see you, and if they know you, unless you're a turkey hunter, Christian. But when they see you, Claire, there's an ambassador for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to tell their kids, come on here. Watch this ambassador for Christ in the grocery store. And they don't need to see you, Claire, in line and 12 items or less and somebody got 14 in front of you. Acting a fool. Count them. They want to see you representing God. Our young people, Ray and Lorice and Jill, going to school. Y'all parents, Christians, you were Christians. You've been baptized. You're ambassadors. We got young ambassadors. We got old ambassadors. We got ambassadors of all ages in here.
Amen.
What's their job? To talk about Jesus. To talk about Jesus. Listen. The blessed man or woman of God. How about this one? Called and chosen and faithful. This scripture just hit me all inside the head. Revelation 17:14. Think about this.
Revelation 17:14 says this. He says, these shall make war with the Lamb. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is the Lord of Lords. Capital L, little L. And He's the King of Kings. Now here we come in. And they that are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. That means called. We've been called and we answered the call. We've been called and we answered the call. We were chosen. And that word faithful means to the very end, unto death. Unto death. You know, we're not called for just a short time. Like in the army here, you may call and you can go do your little tour of duty. Come back home. When God calls you, you are called unto death. What do we do? What are we supposed to do? What are you supposed to do, Pastor? Because, you know, I hear Christians say, well, I have nothing to do. Nothing to do, nothing to do, nothing to do. Really? Paul says this, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. And not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here's the part we don't always read. Verse number 10. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. His. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. Here's what y'all be doing. Find something good to do. Find something to do where you can glorify God. Find something to do where it gives you a platform to glorify God. And then ask yourself, is what I'm doing glorifying God? Is my life glorifying God? Because if I am saved and I'm a child of God, if God has called me out of darkness into His marvelous light, He's called me to glorify Him. He's called me to glorify Him. You ought to see me somewhere. You ought to see me glorifying Him. You ought to see me excited and happy. Paul says this to Titus. He said, who have gave Himself, Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us, Christ. Christ gave Himself for us. Why did He do it? That He might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin, and purify unto Him a peculiar people. A peculiar people. There ain't nothing normal about being Christian. So we've normalized it. See, we've normalized it. Everybody a Christian. Okay, I tell you all the time, I have to do my assessment. I walk around talking to kids and what are you? Catholic, Muslim, Protestant, Christian. Christian. What church you go to? I don't go to church. Well, you ever been baptized? No, you're your pastor. I don't have a pastor. I'm just a Christian. That's an attack. That's an attack on Christianity.
Amen.
That's blasphemy. That is blasphemy of the highest order. Let me say this to you young folks. Say you're a Christian. And you're getting detentions, getting kicked out of school, getting all ass. That's a knucklehead in school. And you're a Christian. You know what you are? You're a blasphemer.
Amen.
You're a blasphemer of the highest order when you say that I am a child of God and live like a child of the devil. It is what it is.
Amen.
Because God has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. He has brought us back. He has died for our sins. Purified unto Him. He's trying to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Look at the last part of this. Zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. I just want to glorify God. But by the time we get done with the Beatitude, we're going to get to, and blessed are those who are persecuted. One time we get there, I can't wait. We're going to be here a while. But when you get there, you're going to know if you're a Christian or not. Because you're going to be willing to suffer. You're going to be willing to lose some stuff, cut some ties, walk away from some stuff. If you're a child of God, you got to walk away from stuff. You got your walking shoes on. You're not going to serve God and serve the devil. Just not going to do it. Okay? And if you're doing it now, stop telling folks you're saved. Stop telling folks you're a Christian. Just tell them, right now, I'm out of the will of God. Okay? Tell them this. If I die right now, I know I'm going to hell because there ain't nothing about my life that's giving God glory. I don't know. Pastor, you over the top. I'm going to say it, mean it. Y'all know me. I don't care how bad the Browns is playing. I'm a Browns fan. I don't care. They lose. They be 0-16. Know what I'm be doing at 1 o'clock? Watching the Browns. Why? Because I'm a Browns fan.
Amen.
Can't do that for God. I don't care. I'm going to serve God. You don't have to. It don't take all that. Yes, it do.
Amen.
Yes, it do. Take all I got, and I'm going to serve them until the day I die.
Amen.
I'm serving to the day I die. I'm serving to the day I die. I think about how I'm going to sit there. Some folks just still breathe, and I don't like to be bringing it up, but I'm going to serve them to the day I die. I've got Mother Allen and Mother Wallace. Just serve them. I'm going out swinging. It's like digging down. Just going out swinging.
Amen.
Just going out swinging. Come on, Death. Where's your sting? The blessed man or woman. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. Just hate sin. As you grow in your godliness, you're gonna have a hatred for sin. It's gonna grow more and more and more. As you walk this Christian life, your tolerance for the things of the devil is gonna be revealed.
Amen.
And if you can tolerate a whole lot of this stuff, then you have to get on your knees. Just get on your knees. God, I don't have what I need. I don't have what I should have. I don't have what I should have.
Amen.
I was watching TV yesterday and everybody's just getting ready for this big weekend. Zombie walks and stuff. And I'm almost certain some of the folks that was in zombie walk yesterday is in church today.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm just confusing to me. Because the true, unsaved, unbeliever atheists don't want to see nothing about Christmas. Don't want to see no nativity scene. Don't want no Christmas tree. Take God out of the school. Take God out of the court. Take God out of everything. But Christians, we celebrate the devil's day with them. We got no problem. Trick or treat. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I do. I hate drinking and gambling and divorce and adultery. I hate it. I hate it.
Amen.
Cussing and lying. I hate it.
Amen.
I was in a children's service class and there was some 15-year-olds and they were talking about teenagers. Problems with teenagers. How to discipline teenagers. And the question was on the board. One question everybody asked. How do you stop them from lying? And I'm sitting here and y'all know me. I say, I know my kids are lying. They talking. Okay? I stop asking them why. Cindy asks them why all the time. I say, more power to you. Why you get that detention? Why you do this? Why you do that? They be like, look at the playbook. See what happens. Work on here. Work on this situation. Here's why they lie. Because they're unsaved.
Amen.
They don't know the Lord.
Amen.
And lying will send you to hell.
Amen.
See, Satan was a liar and the father of lies. So if you have a lying nature, you give an evidence that your father is the devil.
Amen.
Oh, come on, Pastor. All that devil talk. I thought you didn't celebrate Halloween. I'm not celebrating Halloween. I'm just talking about the devil. He is the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren. And if you got a problem with lying today, then you really, every time you tell a lie, You are testifying that the devil is your God. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That love him. See, when temptations call, you don't have the answer. Okay? I know I call some of y'all. I ain't gonna put Mr. Shelton out there, but I call some of y'all. You don't answer. Now, when Satan call you, don't answer. Just don't answer. I ain't got an answer to you. You're not my God.
Amen.
I don't worship you. You didn't save me. You didn't die on a cross for me. The blessed man or woman. I'm getting there. I got a lot of stuff here. I'm getting there. I'm gonna get all this done tonight. But the blessed man or woman. I like this one. The blessed man or woman believes God. Believes God. What's it mean to believe God? What's it mean to believe? That word came up again in Sunday school this morning. Why have we talked about belief? It means to trust in Him. It means to commit to Him. It means to commit your everything to Him. And you know the blessed man believes God. Y'all know the story of Doubting Thomas. Jesus came, walked through the walls, and the disciples said, Jesus was here. And Thomas said, no, lest I see Him for myself, lest I put my fingers in the holes, lest I put my hand in His side, I won't believe. See, some of y'all sitting here right now waiting for something crazy to happen. Waiting for something supernatural, a meteorite to come falling out of the sky. Then I believe. Now listen. This is what Jesus said. He said, Thomas. He said, talking to Thomas about that. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He showed up. Thomas was able to do that. He was able to put his hands. This is the compassion and the mercy and the grace and the love of God. He answered Thomas' question. But then he called him out. He said, Jesus said to him, Thomas, put your name there if you're a doubter. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Mm-hmm. Then when you talk to somebody, they tell you, you're blessed. Now remember this. Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen. Uh-huh. Have not seen. And yet have believed. Oh, that's good. And the blessed, you know, the blessed have the Word of God.
Amen.
The blessed have the black and white.
Amen.
They have the Word of God. They have the Word of God. And if the Word of God don't get you to believe, I can do cartwheels and we can sit up here and do all kinds of little gimmicks and tricks. I can have somebody walk through here like they got a bad leg. And I can walk down there and say, touch that leg. And they go, woo! Then Rita will be right behind them. I say, Rita, no. No, that ain't for you. You ain't doing your leg today. I only had enough power for one leg. Oh, Lord have mercy. Listen. Romans 10:17. I love this verse. I say it to you almost every week. The blessed man and woman of God believes. How do they believe?
Amen.
Because faith. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
The man or woman that's blessed believes that. The man or woman that's blessed with had no problem with Acts 4:12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto man whereby they must be saved.
Amen.
Let me tell you. Well, Pastor, I know you're getting down. Ready to close. The blessed man. I like this one. I preached this at my father's funeral. The blessed man is forgiven. You know, my father would ask me a question all the time. He said, you know, he said, I spent a long time, boy. He said, I spent a long time. I say, Dad, you know what? God is good.
Amen.
And He's given you a long time to think about these things. He's given you a long life to get yourself together for God.
Yeah.
And I would tell him that all the time. He said, well, I can't do much now. I said, don't say you don't need to do much now. Jesus did it all.
Amen.
Yeah. So for grace are you saved through faith. And now yourself, it's a gift of God. And then David, we start talking about blessings. Blessings ain't always stuff. Here's the blessing of serving them out. Here's David in Psalm 32. I just love this psalm. Look what he says. And if you get anything tonight, get this. You're not going to heaven. Mad at folks. Okay? You ain't going to heaven knowing that you need to forgive somebody. Knowing that you need to call up a cousin or call up an uncle or call up a niece or call up a mother or call up somebody and say, listen, I am sorry. I apologize for being a knucklehead, for being an idiot, whatever.
Amen.
David knew this. And there's no doubt David confessed his sins, a sin of sin and murder and treason that he did with Bathsheba and her husband. Because David wrote this in Psalm 32. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You ain't going to heaven mad. And I tell them gangbangers all the time, hey, listen, ain't no heartless felons in heaven. Ain't no Crips, Bloods, white supremacists, ABs, Latin kings, none of them going to heaven. Because you're mad at folks. You just want to kill folks. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. Whose sin is, I like that. That's what Jake was talking about this morning in Sunday school. Covered. Mm-hmm. Whose sins is covered. Covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no guile. There is no guile. What's that mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. No trickery. No mess. See, some folks just faking. Faking like they can forgive somebody. Faking like they ready to go to heaven. Not. Yeah, they had a real stuff. No guile. No trickery. No deceitfulness. None of that stuff. Psalm 20. Proverbs 28:13. He that cover his sins shall not prosper. You got sin? Listen, let me tell you something. You ain't got to go behind no door. Okay?
Amen.
When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom.
Amen.
You have access to the Father. You don't have to sit here and tell me. You don't have to come up here, Pastor, I got to confess. You can confess to me all day. Don't mean nothing. You'll die and go to hell. I confess my sins to the pastor. Or the pastor then die on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
You need to confess your sins to whom died for you.
Amen.
Not for the father down at the other churches and stuff. No. To God.
Amen.
Why? Why Solomon saying this in Proverbs 28:3. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. Now, don't miss the second part. Confess and forsake. Don't confess and go back. Them shall have mercy. Them shall have mercy. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? See, a lot of us, we just waiting. We like a football team. We got a timeout. And the score is tied. We on our way to hell. We know we on our way to hell. We got one timeout. And all we need is 3 points to get into heaven. And we just run the clock all the way down. Some of us is running the clock all the way down. We running the clock all the way down. And we get to 3 seconds and we go, timeout. Like Florida State yesterday. We run the clock, time out. We're going to take the field goal. But see, what we don't understand is The long snapper is the devil and the kicker is the devil. What are you waiting for? The Bible says today, if you hear my voice, harden not the heart like they did in the wilderness. And they walked around in the wilderness for 40 years on an 11-day journey. And they walked around for 40 years. And they end up, none of them got into the promised land. Amen. Why? Because they thought it was a game. This serious business. This serious business. Young folks, this serious business. Y'all say, well, I'm too young. I got to do some stuff. And I got to get some girls. You know, I got to get me some girls. I can't give my life to the Lord right now. I don't want to be the 40-year-old virgin. Get right with God. Amen. Let God give you a girl.
Amen.
A blood girl. Not a blood to wear red, but a blood girl that's been covered.
Amen.
In the blood. That's going to be with you 30, 40 years.
Amen.
You ask that young lady, Daquan, you all handsome back there, sitting, got you all dressed up, got your tie on. I love you, little girl. And that little girl need to ask Daquan, how you going to love me for 50 years? I want one of them 50-year marriages.
Amen.
I don't want to be married for 6 months or a year. I want one of them 50-year marriages. I want to be like Jones is over there, been married a long time.
Amen.
How are we going to do that? See, young girls don't ask them about that. Well, how are we going to stay married? How are we going to stay in love? That's the advice I gave to Jake. I said, Jake, you talk to Jackie. You make sure you tell her, I want to stay married. How are we going to stay married? We need the Lord. I see folks that don't know the Lord. I don't know how to survive. I have no idea. I asked some because there was a time in my marriage I wasn't saved. And I gave Cindy the absolute blues. They gave Michaela a trophy yesterday. And I thought about all my trophies. I had all kinds of trophies. Bodybuilder trophies. And I made Cindy mad. I don't know where my trophies are at. I don't know where all my bodybuilding trophies at. Cindy like, uh-huh. But my point is, folks, you need the Lord.
Amen.
You need the Lord.